Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
To my right is Rich Lord. What's happening, Rich?
Loving it, Sean. Loving it.
Clint Sterner is across the way. He is a former Dallas Cowboys quarterback. He's always an Arkansas Razorback, and he's the pride and joy of Baytown. What's shaking, Fudge?
Yeah, he is. What's going on, fellas?
How you doing, man?
Man, I'm doing good.
You sound raspy today, bro.
I like that. I got to go Barry White on him every now and then. You know what I mean? There you go, B-Max. He's on time today, ain't he? Yeah, man. Been coaching them kids up. Had a bunch of quarterbacks training in Little Rock and in Central Arkansas. And then I drove overnight because I had to be here for my Thursday hit with you guys,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, dude.
I guess if it's 4 hours, it's not a hit, right? I guess it's more of a
yeah, it's a
day.
Regular gig.
You're pot committed, at least
right.
For one day, buddy.
That's right.
Did I miss something? What's up, Fudge? Back in the day, that was not a compliment.
No. In the Loop calls him Hot Fudge.
Okay, so I did miss something.
When he walks around.
Lock Dog came up with some fudge, and I'm letting him ride with
okay,
it.
Okay, yeah, all right.
Because he says when Clint walks around the building, the ladies look at him like he's a big bowl of hot fudge.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I didn't know.
So I kind of like it, so I'm going to perpetuate it.
I'll tell you in the break why that used to not be a compliment. I can't say it on here.
I can't wait. Add to the repertoire. I don't know if a hot bowl of fudge is so complimentary, but I appreciate the thought.
That's
I appreciate
delicious.
The thought there, yeah. Lock Dog.
Yeah. Well, it's good to have you in studio as always, man. And
yeah,
we got a lot of
yeah.
stuff to get into. Brian Gain met with the media today. We had the schedule released last night. We'll get into all that stuff. But I think the big news, the big story off the top is the Rockets winning game two last night. Usually in these series, and we've seen it happening in pretty much every other series that had gone to two games before last night, other than the Portland series in which the Blazers were up 2-0, the team that's gotten down 1-0 in each of those series bounces back to win game two. And I expected the Jazz to have a little something more for the Rockets in game two of this series, only because it would be hard for them to give less than they gave in game one. They lost by 32 points. The Rockets continued to just bat the Utah Jazz around like a cat bats a ball of yarn back and forth. When the Jazz would close it to about 15 or 14 or 12 points, the Rockets would go, we'll go back on an 8-0 or 10-0 run here. They kept the Jazz at distance all night long. And now the Rockets are up, they're up 2-0. And I'm embarrassed for having even given the Jazz a game.
They're treating the Jazz like a lottery team.
When I made my prediction of Jazz in 5.
Yeah, I was 6. Are you kidding me? I'm more embarrassed than you are. Yeah. Plus 52 in the first two games for the Rockets. And like you said, Sean, it was no contest last night. What stands out for me is that I love the highlight. I love Harden's artistry. I love it all. But they're locking down at the other end. Since the All-Star break, this team has been an elite defensive team, better defensive team than last year. And it helps that Utah was not one of the better offensive teams in the NBA this season. I mean, it's showing that a subpar offensive Utah team is having no success against an elite defensive team.
I love hearing that, Rich, because if anybody's been critical of the Rockets, I think it's been me. And it's all about how in the playoffs the defense improves significantly. It's good to hear that the Rockets are at least meeting that standard as far as on the defensive end, they're stepping it up. I was driving last night, so I missed the game, but it appears to be one more of those that is when you dominate for four quarters or in college basketball for two halves, you've arrived as one of the elite teams in that league or at that level. And the way every time I've watched the Rockets recently, other than who was it?
The OKC game that
I beat to death last time I was in.
Right.
I mean, not only have they won and won big, but what I've been impressed with is their ability to dominate for four quarters. They get a lead, they keep a lead, they put their foot on their throat, and it's game over. There's no letting them creep back in. There's no mental lapse. There's no letdown. There's no, like what Golden State did two nights ago, against Portland, letting them come back from 31. Let them come back from 31. You know, that's a sign of weakness. That's a sign of not being prepared mentally. And so the Rockets appear to be beyond those types of things happening based on the second half of the season and the playoffs.
I think the biggest difference, Clint and Rich, with this team versus last year's Rockets team is just it's a deeper team. There's more guys you can feel comfortable having out on the floor in their roles. And I think we saw it, look, in a game where they won by 20 points again last night and in a game where they were up largely by double digits and up big by double digits for most of the game, it's hard to pick out things where you go, aha, that's the difference in that game or this series. They're just clearly outclassing the Jazz. But there was one little stretch early in the second half, and that was my concern coming out of the locker room. Okay, is this team going to do what they've done so many times this year? Which is even when they've been good defensively on the aggregate, they've still had these games where they cough up these big leads. There was a stretch at the beginning of the third quarter where the Jazz started to close things a little bit, and Mike D'Antoni went to a group out on the floor that was James Harden and all bench guys. It was Gerald Green, it was Kenneth Faried, it was Austin Rivers. They gave the team a boost of energy, a little B12 shot.
Yep.
They knocked down some shots, and Harden was out there just kind of orchestrating things, man. And it was that was a cool stretch of the game for me. The rest of it was frankly kind of boring. They were just so much better than them. But that was a stretch where I go, okay, this is something where Mike D'Antoni had to come up with a chess move. They had to go to the ninth guy on the bench to energize something out there. And they were able to do it. And they were able to sort of stem the tide.
I tell you what I like about it. And it goes back to what I've stressed about the Rockets all year long is does the plan and the execution change when the defense gets better and the playoffs and the games start meaning something, the playoffs start? It what you just mentioned is where I was going with that in a positive light is the ability. Because what I saw during the season was I saw guys, if Harden wasn't on the floor, I saw guys try to be Harden. A lot of isolation, just very, very difficult shots. And those are things Harden, we take for granted because Harden can make those. But there were multiple guys that would get on the floor and take shots. It's not a good idea that guy is taking those shots in games. And it appears that that has happened few and far between. In an instant like you're talking about where Harden's on the floor with those guys, he's getting them open shots and they're knocking them down versus them isolating and trying to make shots. So, yeah. So, it's really interesting. Depth was the other thing to me, that change in style of play and then the amount of depth that they're playing with. And not just playing with, but playing with great confidence. Like you said, a head coach putting those guys on the floor, that screams how confident he is in this bunch to do it at a critical time in a game. And look, as a player, I mean, you love that, right? I mean – from a confidence standpoint, you're like, hell, this coach, I'm not just a bench guy. I'm not just going in when somebody needs a spell. I'm going in critical times and making a difference in a playoff run. So that's big time for the entire roster, top to bottom, confidence-wise.
When the Rockets blew the big lead in OKC to blow the 2 seed, it hadn't happened in a long time that they had done something like that, although earlier in the season it happened quite a bit. I'm not so sure it wasn't a good thing for the Rockets to be reminded of the things they need to do to prevent something like that. And I know the stretch you're talking about last night, Sean, but if I'm not mistaken, the Jazz, the best they did was get within 17. I mean, it was a real pure blowout of a game. And the Rockets, but
they went on that, like a 9-0 run.
They were down
26, and all of a sudden it's 17,
17.
And you're going, here we go again.
Right, exactly. Yeah. But it's remarkable to say that cutting it to 17 was actually some sort of scare.
Yeah.
You make
a
great point, Rich, about how powerful a moment like that OKC game can be for a really, really talented team. A coach can get in front of a team all day in team meetings or in film sessions and say, we need to do this or we need to do that or we need to make these adjustments or we can't let this happen. Be careful, guys. Don't get too high and mighty. Don't get up on that high horse and think you're better than other teams. They can say that all day long. And a lot of times when you're as talented and has had as much success as this Rockets team has, and not just success, but success in such a sexy way. You know what I mean? Just the threes and the high rate, high difficult shots. I mean, just – it's easy for those guys to think more of themselves. And so a moment like that in that OKC game can really hit the reset button on a talented team and speak volumes.
Jazz are now bona fide desperate, you know, down 0-2. I saw the number today, and they're always out there in these situations in the history of the league. 93% of teams that were up 2-0 went on to win 7-game series. And not only are the Jazz going to be desperate, their fans are going to be desperate in that building in game 3. And those fans are nothing to write home about. I mean, they're as rude a fan base and as
They're bad people, Rich. Say it. They're bad people.
A lot of them are bad people.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.